Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kelly, your host, and very happy to be here with you. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us. And just not one of those Wednesday mail-in shows. No, we brought a good show this time. We actually put together a really good Wednesday show. Second hour, Stephanie Gray, who now I call Stephanie Gray Connors, since she got married, is going to do a pro-life open forum with us. And you know, Stephanie is just among the best at that. So if you've got questions, and by the way, Stephanie loves to talk to people who are not pro-life. And so if you've got a sincere question or maybe even a complaint about us pro-lifers, you're welcome to call the second hour, 888-318-7884. The first hour, somebody that we should have on more often. I'm just going to say it. We should just have her on more often. I don't know why I have to end up saying that every time, but Rose Sweet is here. We're going to talk about divorce this hour with Rose Sweet. If you have questions about what the Catholic Church teaches about divorce, maybe you have questions that pertain to your own life or the life of a loved one regarding divorce, 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884. If you don't know Rose Sweet, two things. Your life is poorer for it, and I'll tell you a little bit about her right now. She's a Catholic author, a fantastic Catholic speaker. The first time I saw her speak blew me away. She's a life coach. Among her books, she got a whole bunch of books, but her most recent books are the Catholic Woman's Guide books from Tan Books, A Catholic Woman's Guide to Happiness, one to romance, one to relationships, and this year, I think not out yet, A Catholic Woman's Guide to Temperaments. Rose Sweet, thanks for being with us.
I love being on this show. I need to see you more often too, Cy.
I know.
I miss you.
Well, thanks. I'm super happy to have you here. I mean, it's not like the happiest thing we're going to talk about today. Sometimes we talk about different things with you, but you have devoted a good part of your life to help and healing for families who have suffered divorce.
Yes, I have, and it has been difficult, but it has been a blessing and a pleasure to bring God's love and healing and hope to people who've been hit by divorce.
If you have a question for Rose, 888-318-7884, the number 888-318-7884. Not without controversy, though, so I want to get some things kind of straight with you about what the Catholic Church teaches about divorce. Do you ever get the feeling like the Catholic Church almost teaches two separate things about divorce? It seems like that to me sometimes.
Yes, and I'm glad you brought that up because it fits in with what I call the hot fudge Sunday theory.
Okay? Oh, my favorite theory, hot fudge Sunday theory.
It's an ancient doctrine. Okay, yeah. So let me ask you, is a hot fudge Sunday hot or cold?
Yes.
That was ridiculous, but I was right.
It is hot and cold.
Okay, so we have to remember that there are a lot of instances in life where two seemingly opposing truths can coexist, and they're both true, and yet to consider one without the other is to not have the fullness of the truth. So here's what the church teaches. In short, that divorce, and this is out of the catechism, it's a grave offense against the natural law. It claims to break the contract. It does injury to the covenant of salvation. It's immoral because it introduces disorder into the family and the society. It's a travesty. It's devastating, and it's huge. Okay. And that's all true.
So that's the cold side, or maybe that's the hot side. I don't know if that's the fudge or the ice cream.
Depending on where you are. But here's what the church also teaches. If either of the spouses causes grave mental or physical danger to the other spouse or to the children, or otherwise renders the common life too difficult, that spouse gives the other a legitimate cause for leaving. Doesn't mean that the marriage bond is over, but it means you don't have to tolerate that. And the church doesn't say check your brains at the door. She says, look, if it's that bad, get out, get safety, get help, and let us help you look at what happened.
Yeah.
If there's no grounds, if there's no reason that we can declare this marriage null and it's still valid, you have to live within that truth because that's where you're going to find your ultimate freedom and happiness. And it's going to be tough, but we're going to help you. So there's the hot and cold.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sadly, in our culture, when people are discussing this, we find one camp that speaks to our experience and our belief and understanding, and we stick with that and we close ourselves off to the other side. And then we get hostile and we start to, here we are, divorce each other, even in the conversation.
Right. We go to our own little divorce from people who sit in the pews with us because we disagree about these fundamental questions about marriage. I think there is a sense of almost panic about marriage, though. I don't know if panic is the right word, but real. Well, either A, people have a completely lax view of marriage, which is unchristian, that is incompatible with what Christ taught. But on the other hand, people who love marriage and want Christ's vision of marriage to be lived, there's just this sense of, oh my Lord, look at the hill we have to climb. This is we've made a real mess of our society.
And we have. And the problem is, in both sides, fear enters in. And this is where we have to bring our faith. We have to center our minds and hearts on Jesus Christ and how he dealt with these things. But the people who are trying to uphold marriage and stop this horrible onslaught of divorce mentality, they also are gripped by fear because they can't allow themselves sometimes to think that maybe those people did have a legitimate right to divorce. No. You're being lazy. You're being selfish. No. You should get back together. This can't be happening. And again, fear can invade either side.
Yeah.
That's where we have to go ahead.
No. I was just going to say, there's also the thing, however, about there's a distinction between, not to say that divorce is a good or is a casual thing, but it's different when we talk about divorce and the remarriage after divorce. These are two different categories. I think it comes down to, well, I don't know. I see you took a deep breath. I'm going to just let you correct me or go ahead or whatever you're about to do.
No, you do not need correcting. I'm not Missy. Don't worry about it. Everybody knows Missy is your wife, right?
Right.
Okay.
And she does correct me. Yes.
But you are absolutely right. It's a hill. I just lost my train of thought.
Well,
so many things are going through my mind right now.
Well, it just seems to me that if you go back to Jesus himself, he talks about marriage, but he talks then about remarriage. They're not the same thing. The divorce and the divorce and remarriage, they're two separate things that he talks about.
Yes, but here's sadly, because of the fear that has infected our whole culture. In this dialogue, people are no longer sometimes even talking about remarriage. They're now looking at, you can't divorce. You should never divorce.
Yeah.
You don't have grounds for divorce. They're not even thinking about remarriage. They're now really attacking a lot of the poor people who entered marriage with goodwill and find themselves divorced or having to civilly divorce for a serious reason and undergoing a lot of shame and a lot of criticism. So I'm asking everybody in the conversation to come back to a place of peace and trust in the Lord. You know, he moved in and to the woman caught in the act of adultery and said, who is here to condemn you? And she said, no one. And he said, well, then neither do I condemn you, but don't do that anymore.
Right.
And people hated him for that. They thought he was being too lax. They thought he was being too weak and pathetic and bent, you know, not listening to the Mosaic law, but he wasn't. He perfectly held the tension between this truth and that truth that seems sometimes so opposed to each other.
Right.
We need grace and wisdom to be able to look at both of those and hold them with the same tension that he did.
I have to say, Rose, I think that we Catholics do shame each other about things. And like even to the point where sometimes I feel like the person who has a Catholic family with only one or two children, for example, then they're, and I know this is, I don't mean to be controversial, but no one has the right to shame anyone. That's a Catholic family. You don't know anything about those people, and your judgment of them and your shaming of them is wrong. And I think that's the case with divorce as well. We're pretty good at shaming each other within our own community.
Right, and whatever the topic is, that the real issue is fear. The people who think you should have 10 million kids and the people who think you should be able to choose to have just one, we don't know what's going on in their lives. Most of the time, we're not privy to that. Even they're not even aware sometimes. But we're afraid. This is the human nature. We've made this decision. This is our truth. And then we look out there and we get afraid. Uh-oh. You know, they must be wrong. Something's wrong with them because we're trying to protect ourselves. We are so afraid to be who we are and to be in line with God's word and God's love and allow other people the freedom to be different without being sinful and mean and horrible and terrible.
Rose Sweet, I'm sorry, Rose. I got to take this break, but yeah. Rose Sweet is our guest, and I will monopolize Rose. Rose is one of those guests that I will just talk to the whole hour if you don't talk to her. So 888-318-7884, the number. Personal questions, welcome. Questions of maybe a problem that you have intellectually with what the church teaches. I'm just not sure. I'm not clear. You need some clarity on divorce, annulments, all of that. 888-318-7884. And if you're not a Catholic, and you'd like some clarity on why the Catholic Church teaches what it teaches, Rose, the perfect person for that when it comes to marriage and divorce. 888-318-7884. I do have some of my own questions for you when we come back, Rose, but we'll also let callers get through to you. 888-312, right back with more Rose Sweet on Catholic Answers Live.
Call us now with your question.
Hello?
On Catholic Answers Live.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Hey, it's Wednesday, and that means a new episode of our podcast, Catholic Answers Focus, has dropped. You can check it out at CatholicAnswersFocus.com or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Catholic Answers Focus, the world's premier podcast on Catholic apologetics, now available every Wednesday at CatholicAnswersFocus.com.
EWTN, helping people grow in their love and understanding of God.
You know, I was raised Catholic, but then went to the other side and tried to commit suicide a couple of times several years ago. My Savior happened to be a Catholic priest here locally, and I wanted to say, though, surrounding myself with people like yourself and this radio station. This morning I felt kind of alone, and then I was like, oh yeah, EWTN. Oh, I love it.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Rose Sweet is our guest. We're talking about divorce, a sensitive topic, but one that it's not that hard to be clear on the Catholic teaching if one is willing to be clear on it. 888-318-7884, the number if you have a question for Rose. 888-318-7884. We often hear it said like this: well, the church tolerates divorce. Are you okay with that language?
I am and I'm not. See, there's the duality there.
What are you, a Catholic?
Okay. Yes, yeah, exactly.
Both hand.
Okay, in our culture, the word tolerate comes across sometimes like this. Well, I certainly wouldn't have done that, and I think you might be headed in the wrong direction, but I do see the church does say that, so yes, we do tolerate divorce. Okay, there's an arrogance and a pride and a shaming in that. There are many places, and this is out of the Catechism and canon law, and I read part of it. If the common life is too difficult or, you know, there's a danger, you have a legitimate cause for leaving. There is cause for leaving. In the Catechism, 1649, 2383, there are some situations where living together becomes impossible. And in such case, the church permits the physical separation. So we don't just tolerate isn't the only word. We have to be careful that we realize in other places in church teaching, it is allows, permits, and even in some cases, God forbid, get the heck out of there. That you almost have a the church implies that you almost have a responsibility, a moral responsibility, to leave the home temporarily for safety's sake. But the marriage bond still stands, and you must live in accord with that. And it's difficult, but we're here to help you. But now, go ahead.
It just brings up the immediate question of discerning that, because like a good marriage gets to a point where often, in many cases, a marriage, you know, because marriage is long, it gets to a point where it feels intolerable to the spouses. And to Missy in particular. No, I mean, so how does one discern, is this the kind of thing that I suffer through? Because God, you know, Jesus said, take up your cross each day and follow me. And right now my marriage is a cross, and it has been for the last 5 years, but maybe it won't be 5 years from now. And I need to carry that cross. How do I discern that, which is very reasonable and probably the more common thing, from no, this, there is something so gravely wrong that we need to physically separate?
Okay, just discernment. It's just like anything else. People get lazy and they get afraid that if they go get advice from a wise and holy person, from a coach, from a spiritual director, from a therapist, that they will tell them the truth. And guess what? They won't have an excuse, and they'll have to do the hard thing.
Yeah.
The universal thing for you and Missy and Bob, my husband, and all of us is we don't like crosses.
No.
And guess what? We get to not like crosses. Jesus didn't like his cross, but he understood the value and the beauty of the and the power of the cross, and so he went into it. So discernment is about being honest, submitting yourself on a regular basis to authority, to teaching, to counseling, to coaching, to confession.
Yeah, and maybe that hard thing that you've been avoiding is the leaving, and maybe that hard thing that you've been avoiding is you have no cause to leave. You need to work through this. You just got to, you need help
right.
from others to help you know that.
And this is what I love to do. I help people who are in a situation where they say, I can't stand this anymore. I want to kill him or her. And first I have to say, I hear you. That must be hard. I cannot say, well, you should not feel that way and you should not think that way. This is real for them. And first, they want to know that I understand them and I understand their pain. Then I say, there might be another way. Let's take a look. See how we can reinvent your marriage, how we can redesign it to get rid of some of the things that are really difficult for you and to make it not just tolerable, but sweet in a certain sense. Maybe never like you'll never have the marriage that you dreamed of, maybe.
No.
But that's not the end of the world.
No, right, it's not the end of the world.
I think every married couple really comes to that realization in some time, in some sense.
Yeah, because you marry a human being. I mean, that's exactly. It's a very humanizing institution, marriage, because you have to accept at least one flawed human being if you're going to stay. Well, two. You got to accept two flawed human beings. I mean, and it gets you in the habit of doing that if you stick with it. But all right, here's the deal. I know you got more points you wanted to make. We also have every line full here for you. So what do you want to do? You want to go back?
You're in charge.
All right,
I am the submissive one. You're the leader.
That is just not even true. I've known you
yes,
for a long time. Okay, all right, fine. 888-318-7884, the number. I'm going to go to a few calls. We'll get some graceful points from Rose, and then we'll go back to calls. We'll do it that way. So let's go to Bill in Tennessee, listening on 99.3 FM. Bill, go ahead with your question for our guest, Rose Sweet.
Yes, thank you. Thank you both. Rose, I was trying to think how to formulate my question best. The topic raises so many emotions in me and questions. What about us folks out here who are even recent converts who are much older, who have just made a total mess out of their lives, never heard any teachings from the Catholic Church? If your marriage works out, that's fine. Get married for any reason you want to. Never heard of a sacramental marriage, a good marriage, a legal. We just get married because we enjoy sex together. If it doesn't work out, well, we'll just see what we need to do then. And divorce is always an option, sometimes more than once. So what about folks, what should we be thinking about? I know the idea of living as brother and sister in the current marriage, but what kind of marriage do we even have if we've been married 2, 3, or 4 times?
Rose?
Well, that's a great question, Bill, and I can't give it a blanket answer because here's the truth. Each of those 2, 3, or 4 marriages involved different situations, circumstances, and people. And without knowing those, and here's what we have to remember in this discussion, without knowing the particulars of any marriage, nobody, not a priest, not the Pope, can go in and say what those people need to do. If we don't have enough information, we can't make that call. So that's it. Sadly, it takes the people to be open and to be honest and to share that information and work with somebody to get to the nugget of truth. It takes time. It's embarrassing. It's painful. You said it, Bill. It's painful memories. But it's worth it to open wide the gates, to access the fullness of powerful graces that God has for us to live in a way that's holy and happy and able to love another person the way they need to be loved. And that can look different in every different situation. So I know that's vague, but Bill, do you have another thing you want to add that maybe we could address?
Well, just to say that my wife, who is not Catholic, she's been very sweet and supportive about the whole thing. So in her own way, we're just living as brother and sister, and she doesn't care to go through the annulment process. We started it, but she just really backed away from it. And that's, so I'm praying and waiting on her, and it may or may not ever happen. So I'm okay to live this way. But I think with that in mind, the other side of the coin, it being unfortunate where I've put myself all these years, that there are poor people out there like me who have no idea what they're doing with marriage, and this is the results. Multiple marriages.
Because we're not teaching it. Is that what you mean, Bill? That
not teaching it.
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody is. In the Protestant faith, I can't say for the Catholics, maybe they could do a better job with us, but definitely in the Protestant faith that I grew up in.
So if Bill's concern then is, okay, he's been through all of this. And then the first thing, Bill, is if you've completely messed up your life, the Catholic Church is the perfect place for you. Come on in, because all the rest of us, we've been through it. You should hear, I'm not saying this to be mean, Rose, but you should hear Rose's story sometime. Let her tell it to you sometime. This is not a church for people who haven't messed up. Let me tell you my story sometime. But Rose, I think Bill's question is how do we communicate this to people so that they don't have to go through what many of us have gone through in making a mess of things?
Let's go to the big picture. All the truths of our faith are presented from generation to generation. And each generation says, why didn't I hear that in a certain sense?
Yeah.
So the truth is, we are teaching it. It is accessible. It is available. But we're not hearing about it at the local parish or wherever we are. So the truth is we're doing a good job, but we're not doing it enough. And I think that's true all the time. So then that's where the person, you know, fall on your knees before the Lord and say, Lord, if there's anything else you need me to have or want me to have, show me where it is. It's there. And that's why thank you to Catholic Answers for having people like me on to go to those scary, dark, embarrassing, painful places and talk about it so you can get the truth. So, Bill.
And thank God for Bill. Just think of the thousands of people, of young people who are hearing what you have to say, Bill. Don't try to get it right early. And the later years, many burdens are not there. Bill, I think you've done that. I feel the same way about all Catholic radio, Rose, that it is at least getting this message out there so that people like you and me and Bill, we can talk honestly about it and young people can hear it and maybe that will make some sense to them. Bill, do you want to say anything else?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. Knowing what I know now after all these decades, I would say if I had a chance to do it over again, I would marry in the Catholic Church. I would do it right the first time, knowing what I was walking into, and I would make no allowance for walking away from it unless it's the areas that Rose has already covered where there's a danger to someone, so on and so forth.
God bless you.
And you just stick it out. The grass is not greener on the other side. As a matter of fact, it gets worse. You're stepping further away from God, even though there's someone you might enjoy being with and you've got a good second or third marriage, that's fine, but you've stepped away from what God intended initially. Get it right from the beginning, the best you can, and then don't walk away from God.
Well, Bill, thanks for the call, man. I hope they're listening out there, because there's a reason why we have the gospel, why we have the church. It's for our happiness. It's not for our misery. Rose Sweet also here for our happiness, and she does bring happiness when she comes. More with Rose right after this. Most of us Catholic parents agree our number one goal in life is to pass on the faith to our children. But here's the bad news. Today's world has a million ways to steal your kid's soul. Don't be afraid, says Father Sebastian Walsh. God loves your children even more than you do, and he desires their salvation more than anything. In his groundbreaking new book, Always a Catholic, Father Walsh shows you how to cooperate with God to bring about the fulfillment of his will for your kids. Always a Catholic reminds us that keeping our kids in the faith is about the way we live our Catholicism in our own lives and as a family from day to day. Order your copy of Always a Catholic by visiting shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. It's free, and you'll have instant access to our daily broadcast, the schedule of upcoming shows, and you'll even be able to search the archive and listen to thousands of past shows. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
Have you enrolled in the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics? Let me ask you a more important question. Do you believe as a Catholic that you have an obligation to share the Catholic faith? In fact, the Church has answered this question, and the answer is that all confirmed Catholics are obliged to share the faith. It's actually in canon law. Catholic Answers is here to help you fulfill that obligation. Our School of Apologetics courses will equip you to help all the people you come in contact with understand what the Church teaches and why. A great place to start is with all the Catholics in your life. Learn the art of apologetics from the best of the best and start sharing the gospel today. Visit schoolofapologetics.com. That's schoolofapologetics.com.
Coming up tomorrow on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. What was your first job and how did it define you? That's tomorrow on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Very serious topic, very great guest this hour. Rose Sweet is here to talk with us about divorce, the Catholic perspective on divorce, whether you're Catholic or not, or as our last caller, Bill, not for a long time, but in the church now. You're welcome to call 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. We'll do one more call, and then I know you got some more points. You know how we're going to do this, Rose, back and forth. Let's go to Victoria. Yep. In Battleground, Washington. Perfect place to be married. Battleground, Washington. Listening on Modern Day Radio. Victoria, thank you so much for your call. Go ahead with your question for Rose.
Hi. My question is, what makes marriage valid?
Oh, what makes marriage valid? All right. And you sound like you might not be married yet yourself, Victoria. Is that correct?
That is correct, yeah.
All right.
So marriage is different than any other human relationship. We can love a lot of people, but that doesn't mean we marry them. So marriage is set apart, and this is from church teachings, that's not our opinion, that marriage is between a man and a woman of a certain age, and that they promise to love each other and to be faithful to each other sexually and otherwise till death. So it's a fullness of their self, and there's no option for divorce. They're going to tough it through however they can do, and that they are open to the gift of children. And so that's what sets a marriage apart. And when both parties understand that, enter into it freely with no pressure, no compulsion, no agendas, and totally, not partially, all the way for both of them, then the church presumes that at the moment they say, I do, and they give that consent, a valid marriage bond comes into being, and nothing can break that except death. So that's a beautiful thing that images the bond that Jesus, the bridegroom, has with us, the bride. He's faithful to us. He'll never abandon us. He's with us to the end, and he wants us to open our hearts so widely that he will penetrate us with his divine life and love and make us spiritually and emotionally fruitful and to bring his love out into the world. So our idea of marriage is not separate at all, but really goes hand in hand with the marriage that Jesus has with his bride.
Now, what do you think of that, Victoria? Does that inspire you, or does it make sense to you?
Yeah, it does make sense.
Okay, not exactly inspired.
Do you want that for yourself, Victoria?
Yeah.
Well, okay. We'll pray for you, and I know many listeners are praying for you that comes your way, Victoria. God bless you. Thank you so much for the call. However, Rose, I will say this. That exact teaching that you just gave was given by Jesus, and the apostles said, then why would anyone get married? That was their reaction to Jesus. Well, why would anyone get married then?
Well, and that was a good question, because that opened the door to the further teaching. And I heard you and Carlo the other day discussing this.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's not simple. Some people say, look, marriage is simple. It's natural law. You should just understand it. It's easy. You get married, you stay together no matter what. No, it's not so easy. And Jesus, you know, wanted to go further and say to the disciples, you know, some people are not capable of marriage. Some people, and, you know, we can go off on a whole tangent, but listen to the Catholic Answers podcast that you've had before and the shows and the articles, because this is a deep subject that you and I can't appropriately address
right.
in a second.
Fair enough.
But don't be afraid to say to Jesus or anybody else or to the church or anybody, well, then we shouldn't just get married because it's too hard. And that's why Jesus is saying, yeah, it's hard, but I have overcome the world. I'm here to give you grace. You can go higher. This is where you find total happiness, and this is how you do it. And the church has taken Jesus' teachings and expanded it to help us explain in more detail. Just like if I told you how to make a margarita, I could name the ingredients and tell you to shake it up. But really, you might want to know what kind of limes and what kind of salt and what's the best tequila. So sometimes it's not so simple. And this topic about marriage and divorce and annulment, it's not so simple. And everybody has to remember, it's beautiful, it's true, but we have to enter into it with an open mind and be patient as we allow the church to teach us the fullness of what God gave us, the fullness of what Jesus gave us.
Some have made an argument in very, very good faith about that the abortion arguments are used for those who are trying to teach divorce. There's without question that's true, that these arguments are very similar. For example, you know, like, you know, people will argue, well, when they're that abortion frees people from you know, burdens that they can't carry. And the other people will say, well, divorce frees people from burdens they can't carry. And it was undoubtedly true that the same arguments are made. But I note that you don't find this fully, you don't see this as the most fruitful way to talk about all this.
Yes, it's limiting. So let me, what you said is true. Here's the excuses for sin are the same.
Yeah.
Not just abortion and not just divorce, but every serious sin. It was too hard. I couldn't do it. It doesn't make sense. God wants me to be happy. All the excuses are the same.
Yes.
What's not the same is the church never allows for abortion. Never. It's the killing of another human person. The church does permit in certain circumstances, divorce. So that's where the two are different. And to try to lump them in without making that distinction can cause a lot of people to be confused.
I got you. So the teaching of the church is different on these two matters, despite the fact that, like you said, I suppose we always justify any sin we want to engage in using the same basic, we only have a limited toolkit of justifications.
Right. And we've all, the older we get, we've heard them all. So they're both grave evils.
No.
But they're different. There is a difference. So it's the hot fudge sundae. There's things that are the same, and there's things that are very different. And that's, you know, it takes work to be a good Christian. It takes work to not just take things at face value and make it and oversimplify it. It takes really work to go into it.
That seems a bug for you, particularly, that people oversimplify. Just stick it out, which actually is really true. Almost all the time,
just stick
it out. God has, whether you're a monk or a priest or whatever, the vocation that God has given you, stick with it through thick and thin. You'll be happy that you did. But there is a level of complexity to it as well.
Yes, exactly. So there are people, let's say he was a violent rapist and he was sexually abusing all the children and gambling away their money and shooting up heroin. We would never say to that person, just stick it out.
No, that's true.
We'd say, run,
yeah,
and let us help you sort it out.
Yeah, right.
Okay, and yourself. It's not just the children. The
right,
children
sure.
are deeply wounded. Okay, so the reality is that both can be true. And here's where the fear comes in. The people who are saying, just stick it out, and they're right, are afraid that the people who don't stick it out are using it as an excuse. They're afraid that they're being weak and sinful and loosey-goosey. And really, people are afraid that the whole church is going to crumble. The whole moral system is going to crumble. If those people keep taking our church laws and watering them down, what's going to happen?
Oh, yeah. I see what you're
the
saying.
The truth is, it can get worse. It'll be bad, but Jesus shows us that. We know this is the way of the world, and we do need to fight it, but not to lose our serenity and our peace.
Yeah.
Jesus helps restore that to hold both truths in that tension.
I'm going to ask you one more question, and then I am going to go to callers because there's
okay.
a lot of callers.
But, okay.
But I mean, the Catholic Church actually is pretty good at marriage prep. We're better than almost any other organization, but it still just doesn't seem to get through to people. Like, we still have so much Catholic divorce. Should we be a little bit meaner about allowing people to get married?
Well, this is another complex question. Here's the thing. The bar for marriage is set low, as some have said, so that everybody can enter into it, right?
Right. You have a right to marry. Yes, that's right.
Okay, you have a right to marry. But the bar for authentic marriage isn't low. The bar for entry is low. But the bar for authentic marriage is not low. In fact, Jesus told us he raised it to the level of a sacrament.
Right.
It's hard. It's noble. It's high. It's fruitful. It's life-giving. It's the bedrock of our whole culture. It's not just a low thing. It's a very high thing. And therefore, we need grace and we need instruction to do it right. So, yeah, I hear a lot of priests who've said, you know I shouldn't marry this couple. I see the big red flags, but they won't listen, and they have the right to the sacrament. So what I have done, and a lot of people in tribunals and parishes that I know, is that when we see a young couple that, or even an older couple, and they're attempting marriage, and it's danger, wrong, no, write that out. Write a letter. You know, put it in their marriage file. So if it does come crashing and burning down, and hopefully not, years later, they can go back to that and reference, wow, from the very beginning, there were lies, there were secrets, there were agendas, or something very, very serious in the way.
Yeah.
So
I see what you're saying.
You know, we could talk about this all day, but people have a right to enter marriage, but that doesn't mean that they're capable of marriage. People have a right to enter marriage.
I had never thought about it that way. Yeah. All right. I have to take a break, Rose. I apologize for that. We'll take this break. We'll be right back. We'll take more calls for Rose Sweet on Catholic Answers Live.
Hang on. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Do you love sharing the gospel and want to learn to be more effective? Join the St. Paul Street Evangelization Online School of Evangelization. You will learn to build bridges of trust and make disciples by befriending strangers, proclaiming the gospel, inviting people to the church, and praying with others. We'll ask for a pledge of financial support, but if you are unable to give, we'll give you a membership at no cost. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
He is only one of four popes honored as the great.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Leo I was pope at a time when Roman civilization was being overrun by barbarian armies. He stood as a light in the darkness and even saved the city of Rome from destruction by Attila and the Huns. Leo died in 461.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Rose Sweet, our guest. We're talking about abortion with Rose. You can find her at rosesweet.com. And yes, that is actually her name, Rose Sweet.
Abortion? Did you say abortion?
No. Did I say
We're
abortion?
We're talking about divorce.
Did I say that? Okay. See, yes, I did. I said the wrong thing. And I don't know why my making a mistake is hilarious to the women on the other side of the glass here. I don't know why they find that so funny. But okay, I apologize. We're talking about divorce. We did talk about abortion related to divorce moments ago.
We did.
But
we did.
I apologize. We are talking. Then the next hour is about abortion. Thank you for helping me. Was that you that typed that, Marie? Okay, so now Marie's helping me. Okay, back.
Wait,
I'm going to the phone.
I want to point out, yeah. I listen to every word you say.
I know that this is the problem. This is what gets me in trouble when people listen to me. If they would not listen, I would make fewer mistakes. 888-318-7884, the number. I can't even remember what I was doing, so I'm going to David in Arizona watching on YouTube Live. David, thank you so much for your call. Go ahead with your question for our guest, Rose Sweet.
Yes, a little background. I have a son who's 38 years old, never has been married, has been practicing the faith, has found the love of his life, who is also Catholic, but who has been divorced. Now, my question is, he tells me that if they decide they wanted to get married together in a civil ceremony while they await an annulment, that as a parent and his brothers and sisters could not attend that marriage or that ceremony. Is that true?
Oh, your son, who's thinking about doing this, told you that you couldn't come.
Exactly.
Well, I have to say, that's not one that I have heard before. But Rose, what's the truth about that?
Well, it's kind of a reverse situation. Usually people who marry civilly without an annulment want everybody to come around them to support their decision. And that puts those of us who are their family members in a position to say, no, we can't publicly support that.
Right.
Or even privately. Let's go back to the reality. She's still married in the eyes of the church. She said, I do. And until she can take her enough evidence to a competent tribunal with reliable witnesses to show the tribunal that there were grounds for nullity, she's still married. And that marriage bond lasts until one of them passes away. So your son is objectively committing adultery. And no, we don't like to hear those words. That sounds so harsh and judgmental, but that's the truth. And I love that the Catholic Church is the last one standing for the marriage bond, for the unbreakability of it. So your son and his girlfriend need some coaching, and you give them my email address and tell them I would give them some free consultation. Let me introduce the beauty of the truth and the benefits that come from taking the high road. Right now, they're blocking themselves from graces and even divine life. Let me help you if I can.
So they're seeking the annulment, David. Is that correct?
That's correct. They're seeking the annulment, but they're afraid that the annulment will not be finished by the time they wish to get married. So they thought, well, maybe we could go with a civil ceremony, but if they did that, then their family can't come. And he's aware of that. He doesn't like it, but he maintains that's the fact. I don't know.
Yeah, well, he's got the facts, right.
He does have the fact, and you don't want to participate in a very serious violation of the marriage vow. He is violating her existing marriage vow. And it's usually because nobody's explained this to him in a way that makes sense to him. I know that when we work with people and explain it that makes sense, they get it and they choose the high path. So if I can help in any way, please let me.
So how do we give him your email address? Just go to
rose@rosesuite.com.
rose@rosesuite.com.
rose@rosesuite.com. And my website is rosesuite.com.
Thanks, David. Give that to your son and have him avail himself of Rose's offer, because I think it might be helpful. And it's just, in this case, a matter of a bit of patience to get an answer. Anyways, I'll let you deal with that when you talk with him, Rose.
And you know what? It's not just patience. It is not realizing the damage they're doing now and not realizing the powerful, beautiful graces that they could get later. So it's not just patience. It's not understanding what's going on.
Evita in the San Gabriel Valley here in California. Delighted to have you. A fellow Californian, Evita, go ahead with your question for Rose.
It's not a question. It's more like a point of clarification.
Okay.
I really like everything that I'm hearing from Ms. Rose Sweet, and thank you for educating us. Because we are lacking a whole lot of that. However, I really cringe every time she uses the word divorce, because that I think that further sows confusion in all our listeners who are trying to get to educate themselves and inform themselves. Because in the Catholic world, there is no divorce, okay? Because if I understand this correctly, a marriage will be annulled, which means, okay, they didn't willfully enter, well-informed, and all the criteria for creating a sacramental marriage. So it never really was a marriage. Since there wasn't a marriage, there isn't a divorce. There is an annulment. So I'm concerned that I keep hearing the word divorce and divorce and divorce when the Catholic Church doesn't recognize a divorce.
All right, Evita, I'll tell you what. Let's let Rose respond, and then I'll come back to you and see if her response is adequate for you. Rose, what do you make of that?
Evita, I love this point of clarification. Thank you for bringing it up. And you're right. There is no such thing as Catholic divorce. But Catholics do end up in the civil divorce court. So when we do say the word divorce, we should clarify we're talking about civil divorce. And that's a beautiful point that we should remember. But here's another point of clarification. Not all valid marriages are sacramental. So just because two people get married, even, you know, a Catholic person, doesn't mean that it's sacramental. Really what the Church is saying is there a valid marriage bond there. And we don't also say that there was no marriage, because let me ask you this. This is a great conversation. Did they go down to the courthouse and get a license? It's a civil license. But so was there a marriage? Yes, there was a civil marriage, but there wasn't a marriage in the way the Church understands. And that's another, thank you for opening the door for me to throw that one out, because people cringe like you did when they hear, well, you didn't really have a marriage. And you're like going, I had a mortgage and 10 kids. What do you mean I didn't have a marriage?
Yeah.
You had a civil marriage and you had shared life and there was a lot of good. So you're right, Evita. Terms are so important.
Evita, how does that sit with you?
Yes, that is another excellent point. I understand that as well. So maybe more clarification just on both sides. You know, we're talking about the Catholic sacrament of marriage. Speaking about the Catholic sacrament of marriage, we there shouldn't be a divorce in the same sentence.
No, but when especially for children, I always think about children who are the children of a divorced mother and father. If they had a civil divorce, the children don't become illegitimate children or something. I think there's a lot of anxiety about that because there is civil marriage and there is sacramental marriage. Civil marriage is marriage. The church recognizes natural marriage and civil marriage as marriages, but they don't necessarily mean there was also a sacramental marriage. Am I getting it right, Rose, or am I making a mess of it?
Almost. They also don't recognize there was validity. Because here's the thing. If I married an unbaptized guy, and we got permission from the bishop, right, we would have a valid marriage bond, but it wouldn't be a sacrament. No sacramental marriage, but valid. The church would recognize our marriage as valid. Because sacramentality only comes into the picture when both people are validly baptized Christians. Not even Catholic, just validly baptized Christians. Then they have a valid marriage bond and a sacramental layer on top of that.
Evita, I'm going to say thanks because I want to get everybody on that wants to talk with Rose. I will say what Rose said before, though. Sometimes these things become so complex, they're easier if you get them in writing. And we have lots of that at Catholic.com. If you want to just type in divorce, annulment, remarriage, these various terms into Catholic.com, just dozens and dozens of articles that help to clarify what the church is teaching and what Jesus taught about marriage. I want to get to Tim in Vancouver, Washington, however, before we go. So I'm going to go to Tim. Tim, you have short time. I apologize for that, but you have a short time with Rose. So quickly, go ahead.
It's okay. I'll catch you guys another time too. I'm 2 years baptized Catholic. Okay. I love the Catholic faith. It's something that God called me to, that led me to.
Praise God.
But, thanks be to God, yes. But my wife was born Catholic, raised Catholic. So when I met her, I didn't want a physical relationship. I wanted a friendship, but she wanted more. So who was I to deny her that physical relationship and without knowing anything about the Catholic faith and denying her kids? So long story short, we moved here to Vancouver. Her father came here. I mean, it had to be a blessing because his father said, well, what are you doing? I haven't seen you go on the Mass once. So next thing you know, she started looking at Mass, and then I end up going to RCIA class and got to know the faith. And so we end up getting married 2 years ago in the church, okay, which was the best thing for me. So, but my wife, all of a sudden I lost my mom during the COVID. I lost my job. And then another guy came to work with her, which I used to work with. I worked there. She started seeing him. I called her twice there. And she says, they're just friends. I said, no woman in her right mind goes without another friend or woman.
Tim, I hate to disrupt you, but something happened, and you got to tell Rose what it is so that she can give you an answer, because we're down to seconds now. What's the thing that happened that you want to answer from Rose?
I just want to know if it's okay that I'm seeking going to get the divorce. She wants the divorce, but she...
Rose, any words? Maybe you want to let Tim get in touch with you, too. I don't know.
Yes, please. I can't answer it. I don't have enough information, but reach out to me, rosesweet.com, to my website, and I just remind me who you are, and I will work with you. I'll help you the best I can.
Yeah, it in particular cases, it's hard to do it in a short time. And Tim, sorry we weren't able to have a little more time with you to get more clarity for you. But you can get clarity by contacting Rose at rosesweet.com. Just rose@rosesweet.com. Rose, you're a superstar. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you. I love you guys. See you soon.
It's very soon, I hope.
Yes, next month, I think.
Okay, good. All right, good. We'll see you then.
Don't forget the Hot Fudge Sundae.
See, now you're just making my life harder. I'm trying to be good, Rose, but thank you very much. And I won't forget the Hot Fudge Sunday. A Hot Fudge Sunday is both hot and cold, and the church's teaching on divorce is one that requires some subtlety to get both sides of it. Next, open forum, pro-life open forum with Stephanie Gray.